Welcome to Nourish and Shine, where I talk with passionate leaders in the fields of nutrition, functional and integrative medicine, and wellness, providing inspiration and practical advice to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, optimize your health, and live a whole vibrant life starting now. The Nourish and Shine podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only, and it is not medical, mental health, or healthcare advice. The information presented here is not intended to diagnose, treat, heal, cure, or prevent any illness, medical condition, or mental or emotional condition. Please make sure you consult with a trusted healthcare professional before you make any changes. I am so excited to share today's interview with you. I am talking with three amazing women who have deeply affected my life in such a positive way. I am talking with Diane, Marie, and Donna from the Sister Seekers. I know you're going to love this interview, and I can't wait to share it with you. I hope if you enjoy it, you'll leave me a rating or review on iTunes. Welcome to Nourish and Shine. Today I'm talking with Donna, Marie, and Diane from the Sister Seekers. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
We were just talking about, this is my first group of three that I'm interviewing. So they are my wonderful guinea pigs, and hopefully this will go just wonderfully. But first, I would love for everyone to introduce themselves. Why don't we start with Donna?
My name is Donna Meg Tebai, and just a little background is I am a retired nurse. I've been a nurse since 1982. And it was that nursing piece that gave me the insight into holistic care and care of the mind, body, spirit. And that's what led my interest into the spiritual work or spiritual healing with Reiki and shamanism and stress management and meditation.
Great. And Donna has been on the podcast before talking about Reiki. So if you want to go back, you can hear Donna talking about Reiki in one of our earlier episodes. And Marie, do you want to go next?
Sure. So I'm Marie Neer, and I've played around with different energy modes over the last 20 years, but really have focused on Reiki and shamanic healing in the last 5 years. I am a retired teacher, and I say retired from teaching, but I've reinvented myself, and this is the work that I do now and really enjoy it.
Wonderful. And next we have Diane.
I'm Diane Anderson, and I have been a Reiki teacher practitioner for quite a number of years. I am also a practitioner and teacher of shamanic healing. I am a holistic health coach, and I am certified in energy medicine. So all of the work that I do is very much integrated, and kind of mix it all up as I go, and just really have enjoyed being able to expand my knowledge and my experience with these two lovely ladies in a little bit more expanded way, and very meaningful as well.
Great. And Diane holds a special place in my heart as my Reiki teacher as well. So I think that is how I first came to know the three of you. Can you guys talk about how you decided to form the Sister Seekers and what sort of things you guys are doing?
Donna and Marie and I have known each other for quite a number of years through various workshops, teachings, drumming circle, spiritual meetup groups, that type of thing. So we've interacted in a lot of different ways to begin with. But the way that we actually got started with forming Sister Seekers is one day I was simply driving around running errands. And I know we've all had this kind of thing happen, but I kept getting this message that Donna and Marie and I should form a partnership and do some work together, offering women's spiritual retreats specifically, but other workshops as well. And I kind of acknowledged the thought and just kept on with my day and, again, running around doing errands. And it kept coming back, and it kept coming back, and it came back in such a strong way that I knew from my past experience, my own intuition, that I needed to pay attention to this message. And so when I arrived home that afternoon, I emailed both Donna and Marie, and I said, you know, I'm just getting this message, and I'm going to just put it out there to the two of you that we're supposed to form this partnership and with the possibility of offering women's retreats and workshops. What do you think? And I will let those two take it from there.
Sure.
Donna?
So when Diane contacted me, I read the email and I got that almost like when you hold your breath, because it's like, wait, what is this? What is this? That kind of excitement and surge of adrenaline, if you will. And I think I responded immediately, like, yes, it felt perfect. It felt true. It felt natural. It felt like this is the next step. And Marie?
Yeah. So while Diane was doing her errands, I was actually in a flight to Indiana. And during the flight, I just put out the question of, or asked for another sign, because I was making the decision to leave teaching. And so I just asked for one more sign, because I had had several, that it was the right thing to do, and asked for a sign to verify that that's what I should be doing. And when we landed, got in the rental car, and I pulled up my emails, and here was the email from Diane. And I was like, wow, what a great response. You know, it's like, okay, I can't deny that that kind of message is very strong, and was very excited.
Awesome. And how did you guys decide on the name?
Well, that was Diane's inspiration
I had attended a retreat that actually was using the name Sister Seekers. And it was a wonderful, awesome, amazing experience. And it was kind of a one-time event. And the individuals who organized it realized that they weren't able to move forward with it. So they had kind of put out a message that said, you know, we're not going to be able to do this going forward, but if anyone else wants to take this over, you can go ahead and use the name or whatever you want to do. And, you know, because they didn't feel that they really had any ownership of it. And so I thought that was a grand idea, because I loved the name. And I ran it by Donna and Marie, who agreed that if we could use that name, that would be absolutely perfect for our vision, you know, what we wanted to offer. Sister Seekers, you know, explores the idea that we're all seeking, and that we are, in fact, sisters on this journey. And so it just seemed very, very fitting. I guess that's how we decided that was the name that we would go ahead and use then. And it's worked very, very well for us. People have really loved the name and the meaning behind it.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the name does resonate with people too. Mm-hmm. You kind of get an idea almost right away. What is it? Is this mine?
Even the word sister, and like the support, and like just the feminine energy around that, and like having other women that come together in that way, I think is powerful in itself. So as far as your retreats go, I have been to a couple of the retreats or workshops, and they have been phenomenal. But let's talk about what you guys have done and maybe some plans that you might have for the future.
Okay, so we have had several workshops. We've done some one-day workshops just to help give people the opportunity to do a self-exploration. And then we had our first overnight retreat in October that was 3 nights. And that was a very special time for the people who attended. Really gave people the opportunity for some deep work and transformation. Coming up, we have in February, we have a retreat on intuition. And then in May, we'll have one on chakras.
Ooh, both sound really good. So today we are actually going to dive into spiritual healing. Could you guys share with me first, what is spiritual healing, just as kind of the groundwork?
So I think spiritual healing kind of addresses that holistic piece, that spiritual aspect. And oftentimes we're so focused on the physical that we forget that we are a spiritual being also. So spiritual healing would the self and how the spirit affects mind and body. It begins with an awareness of self and how we're that connection that we have with earth, with each other, with all of the plants, animals, minerals, the universe as large as it is. How do we feel connected to it, or do we feel disconnected to it? And spiritual healing is that attempt to reconnect to those aspects that perhaps we've forgotten to do. It's a response to the environment around us. Is it a healthy environment? Can we change it somehow? Sometimes it's just a recognition of that there's something bigger than myself. And oftentimes, I know the three of us have talked, we have people that come to us and they say, I know there's something there. I know I'm meant to do something else, but I don't know what that is. There's part of me that isn't there. And so spiritual healing is kind of geared toward how do we bring that back? How do we make ourselves whole? How do we make ourselves the person we were intended to be?
I think one thing that comes to mind is that there are some cultures that don't have a word for nature in the way that we use it. We use nature as a word to separate ourselves, or we see ourselves as something separate from nature, and just the way that we surround ourselves or we're on concrete all the time makes us feel like we're separate, but we are actually very much part of that. Of nature, we depend totally on nature for our sustenance and nurture. And I think spiritual healing is getting in tune with that connection that we have to nature.
And I agree with all of that. Spiritual healing involves a very deep understanding of who you are as a spiritual being, as a human being, and your connection, as what has been mentioned here, your connection with all things. Everything is alive, and as such, all life forms take care of other life forms. So nature takes care of us. We need to take care of nature in order to survive, in order to flourish. And this understanding of how we are that connected, how everything that we do affects everything else in the universe, it involves a really deep understanding, again, of who you are, your sense of purpose, your place in the universe, and that, you know, you're actually created with a purpose. And it's important. It's an important purpose. And being able to just identify that, I think, is part of the spiritual healing, because once you have that knowledge, that understanding of who you are in relationship to everything else sort of takes care of itself.
That brings up so many questions in my mind. And I think the first thing is, you guys talked about looking at ourselves as whole and looking to see who we are and kind of who we're intended to be and what is our purpose, or knowing that we have purpose. What are some ways that people explore that or work with that through spiritual healing?
Ways to explore that for self would be doing things like learning Reiki or going deeper to a deeper understanding of self. So that's a lot of what we do in these workshops, or how do you reconnect with yourself? Like Marie mentioned, reconnecting with nature, going out, walking, honoring self, honoring nature, not disrespecting, meditation, connection with others that are similar. And I think that's where with our workshops, women come together and they feel it's so nice to talk with people who understand where I'm coming from, what I mean. I don't have to explain myself so much because there's just that level of understanding. And I told Marie and Diane, I was working with somebody recently and he said, when I got Reiki, I felt like I wasn't alone. I felt like I was connected. And I think that is what we're all searching for.
I totally agree. And I feel like in this day and age where so much is online and kind of impersonal, that connection and, you know, knowing that you have other people like you and actually being like in their energy field, like with them, is really super powerful. Anything else you guys wanted to add?
Well, I think it's important to know that we are part of the divine source, there's a connection there. And when we understand that, it helps us with our purpose. I think knowing that we have that connection helps us see who we are, and it helps heighten our intuition so that when an opportunity presents itself, then we are more in tune with, yes, that resonates with me. Because if we know who we are, then we are more open and aware when opportunities are there for us and we can take them.
One of the things that we find is helpful is if we are asking individuals to explore important questions, or we invite individuals to ask themselves important questions. And one of the most important questions we can ask ourselves is, who am I? And it's very surprising how difficult that is to answer. You know, it sounds like a simple question, who am I? But everybody always has to pause and seems to have a lot of difficulty being able to answer that question. Another very important question is to be able to ask, what is the vision that you have of the person that you want to be? And this can really lead to a lot of spiritual healing for individuals. And it's also not an easy question to answer. A lot of people, seem to be just very lost out there and, you know, looking for that sense of purpose and that sense of who they are. But being able to ask these important questions, it is kind of like the first step in being able to, you know, step into that spiritual healing. And, you know, you're standing there looking at the void going, oh my goodness, do I take the leap and how do I do that? And being able to answer these first questions sometimes can be the start to be able to take that first step. I had a client one time who, prior to her Reiki treatment, we spent about 45 minutes just in conversation, and I was asking her these types of questions. You know, how would you describe yourself? Who are you as a spiritual being? Can you describe to me who is the person that you want to be? What is it that your soul needs for healing today? You know, these kinds of questions. And after 45 minutes, she said to me, Diane, you have helped me more in these 45 minutes than my therapist has helped me the entire year, because you asked me the important questions. It's all about self-awareness. And when you can begin to understand who you are, you've taken the first step.
I was curious, when we talk about being a spiritual being, can you guys elaborate on that, especially for people kind of new within this realm or within this work? Let's just elaborate on, like, being a spiritual being and kind of connection with spirituality in general. And then also, when we talk about spiritual healing, what are some of, like, the wounds or reasons maybe why someone may look towards spiritual healing?
So some reasons that people might be searching for a spiritual connection, they might be feeling lost, unfocused, maybe disconnected from nature and the world, or maybe even disconnected from other people and themselves, having a lack of of themselves or a lack of purpose would be another reason that someone might want to start doing more exploration on who they are as a spiritual being. They may be yearning for meaningful expression or feelings of anxiety or being fearful, even depression. Another thing might be you're feeling stuck, like you don't have anything to look forward to. And I think we've all had those times when we just kind of feel like we're, I use the analogy of a hamster wheel, you know, we're just kind of going through our daily lives, just spinning the wheel and getting up and doing it again, you know, tomorrow, but not feeling like there's any meaning with that. Not being able to have a clear vision of your own abilities, gifts, and talents, you know, just not being in tune with who you are and what you have to offer to others.
One of the things that we have found in individuals who are searching for spiritual meaning are feelings of being fragmented. In other words, another word for that would be soul loss. So due to life's experience, traumas, and so on, we look at the possibility that as a coping mechanism, a little piece of ourselves sort of disconnects. Sometimes, especially when we have had severe trauma, painful memories, and so on. And so it's like we're walking around as not a whole person, not a whole individual. And that's why we have this sense where we're searching, because we lost a piece of ourselves along the way, if that makes sense. And so so we're looking to recover that piece of yourself that was lost and missing. And, you know, what goes along with that also is that it involves a sense of not understanding your own personal power, that you have the power to make change, you have the power to heal, to let go of the past, and to become that healthy, well-rounded person that you want to be.
I know we were asked this in one of our workshops recently. What is the difference between doing and being? So I think that goes to that when you talk about that definition of who am I as a spiritual being. So if you take away everything that you do, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a nurse, I'm a consumer, and take all of that away, how we normally define ourselves, what's left? And that is your true essence. And that is, if you will, that your spiritual piece, that piece that you are the divine within, who you are intended to be.
I love that definition. That is amazing. So when we talk about having a sense of personal power, is there work you do around this or things that you've seen work well to help people develop their sense of personal power?
Yes, in some of our workshops, we do exercises which help people identify what's working in their life and what isn't, what their goals are for themselves, what steps it will take to get there, what are the blockages. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy, and it's our own fears, fears of failure and so on. So being able to help someone identify, you know, where it is that they want to go, and also that they do have the strength and the power to make those changes and to take the first step, but helping them understand how to do it. And sometimes it needs to be one small step at a time. But if you can hold out that vision of, you know, your ultimate goal and then break it down into smaller steps, it really helps. Another way that we do this is by helping people identify what is it that brings you joy and happiness. And, you know, we'll go right down to what are your favorite things? What are your favorite smells? What are the favorite things that you've ever seen in your life? You know, what brings you joy? What are the sounds that you enjoy? These are things that people don't spend enough time looking at and acknowledging. And when you do, you end up realizing that you have an amazing capacity to just be grateful and to live with gratitude instead of fear and uncertainty.
Yeah, I think the gratitude piece is huge because we're so bombarded all the time with what we don't have and what we should be aspiring to, and that things will give us purpose and meaning, and it doesn't give us fulfillment at a spiritual level. And so I think the gratitude piece is huge, because when you are living a life in gratitude, everything just is so much, it's just a happier life. It releases a lot of the burdens and tensions, I think, to be grateful.
Mm-hmm. You realize the abundance that mm-hmm. you have when you talk about gratitude. And I think that's why it's a very powerful exercise. And it's fairly easy for people to incorporate, if you just remember how to do it, that's the piece, or remember to do it. Mm-hmm. So, but it's one that is very, very powerful.
And when you talk about what is a spiritual being, you know, I think about someone who has a good sense of who they are as a person. They have a good sense of their relationship with all things, including nature and other people and food sources. Also someone who has an understanding of how the energetic interaction with everything in the universe works. And it also involves a sense of inner peace, which is where you find that own personal happiness, and understanding that it's not, as Marie said, it's not related to what you have, you know, to physical things that you own. It's about being happy with who you are and what you're doing and your sense of purpose.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a big piece of trust there too, in trusting in yourself, but also in something bigger.
I like that too, Amy, because when I think about trust, one of the things that comes to mind for me is trusting your own intuition. We have the ability to be so intuitive and to know what we need to do for ourselves. We know what we need for healing. We know who we are. We just have to tap into it and trust that intuition, and also trust that the universe has our best interests in mind. Mm-hmm. And that if we learn to pay attention to the signs, to the opportunities, life will flow so much easier. Sometimes all you really need to do is show up. Mm-hmm. And if you show up and you open yourself up to possibilities and potential, you realize that it's infinite.
One thing that I like to do is when I am wanting something to happen or wanting to manifest something, I always try to put out there "or something better," because I think the universe is conspiring for us, and sometimes we limit what the best possibilities are. And so I always try to stay open to the wild possibilities that I haven't even thought of yet.
As far as techniques go around spiritual healing, I know we've talked about a few already. Do you guys have any other techniques you'd like to share?
I think starting the day with positive affirmations or gratitude is a good practice. I've even gone back to bed if I get out of bed and have not started the day out with thinking about at least, you know, 3 to 5 things that I'm really grateful for, because it does make a difference in my day if I start out with gratitude and being thankful for the people in my life, or the opportunities that I have, or even just, you know, being able to, you know, hug a tree. There's so many things to be grateful for, and it just can really set a different tone. So I think being grateful, or also, you know, starting with a meditation, or just, you know, tuning in to that self, that divine part of ourselves. And it helps us remember we're more than somebody that does the dishes or, you know, goes to work.
Mm-hmm. I very much like the idea of starting your day with a positive affirmation or attitude. It reminds me, even just this morning when I got up, and after you do this a while, it becomes who you are, and it becomes a daily practice. If you first maybe have to think about it a little bit, but after a while you just sort of do it automatically. So I was thinking this morning, I got up and I said, and I said it out loud. I mean, I live alone, but I said it out loud to whomever. Today is a good day to have a good day. Mm-hmm. And I went to the blinds and I opened up my blinds and I looked outside and I said, good morning, day. And it just sort of set the tone for my day, you know. And if you start your day with that rather than thinking about, oh, my gosh, how much do I have to do today and where do I have to be and what time do I have to be there and, you know, where do the kids have to be and, you know, what errands do I have to run? I mean, you can kind of see the difference on how it would affect your energy. And so, you know, once you're sort of setting the tone for your attitude and your energy, everything else will sort of fall into place. And one of the other techniques would be to pay complete attention to everything that is going on as you go about your day so that you can identify how it's affecting you energetically. How is it affecting you physically? So I think we're not always aware that our thoughts, our stresses, outside influences, how they're affecting us physically. But if we take time periodically to just take a moment and say, how is this affecting me physically? We will come to a realization that everything does affect us physically, whether it's positive or negative, and being able to do that will help us shift our thought processes, our activities, or move into activities that help let go of stress so that we can allow our bodies to move back into, you know, more of a self-healing mode.
Mm-hmm. And I think the awareness of thought mm-hmm. is very, very powerful. So I recently heard that up to 85% of our thoughts that we're thinking right now, we've thought about yesterday. And chances are that 85% of what we thought about yesterday and today, we're going to think about tomorrow. So if we're not aware of what we're thinking, we can't really change ourselves and we can't refocus ourselves. So it's kind of like meditation when you understand that you're sitting quietly and your mind is pulled elsewhere and you gently pull your mind back to this is what I'm doing now. And that's a small victory. It's the same thing when you are awake, if you will, that when you catch yourself thinking a thought that it doesn't serve you, to pull your mind back and say, that doesn't serve me. I choose not to put my energy there. I choose not to think that. And that is a small victory. So if you can make yourself more aware of your thoughts and continually gently bring it back to where is it that you want to go, you don't want to be in the past living as you are, if you want to change something for the future, then you can then change your thought little bit by little bit and be gentle with mm-hmm. yourself as you do that. It's key also.
And I think it's very important, as Donna said, to have that awareness of the energy that's being created by your thoughts, but the understanding that everything is energy. And as such, it's affecting us on an energetic level. It's also important to understand that our thoughts, our words, and our actions are all energy, and they're not only affecting us energetically, but everyone around us. One of my favorite activities that I will share is as I go about my day, I will pause and ask myself, am I being the best version of myself in this moment? Or am I being the best version of myself in this situation? Or even just today, am I being the best version of myself? And if my answer is no, then I need to just do something different to create a more positive energy and a more positive attitude. If I can honestly say, yes, I'm being the best that I can be today, then I can just feel comfortable with moving forward with what I'm doing. The other thing that is helpful for me as an activity to understand that my purpose is to be able to express the uniqueness of my particular spiritual self, my soul, in everything that I do, whether it's in being a parent or being an employee or being a friend or interacting with people at the grocery store. Every single thing that I'm doing, if I can realize that I should be doing it in my own unique, wonderful way, and we all are unique beings, and we all have our special gifts and talents, and we're all very special, and we all come from the same source. You know, so being able to understand that, but to express the uniqueness of my soul in everything that I do, and knowing that everyone else should do the same thing.
The word creativity comes to mind, and I think it's very important for each of us to be able to express ourselves creatively. And that's kind of what you were alluding to, Diane, but I think we, some people think when you hear the word creative, oh, I'm not creative, but there's so many different ways that we are creative, and it's important for us to be able to express our creativity, not just in art or music, but it can be in cooking or in the way that you interact with other people and the way that you approach things can be a way that you express creativity. And I think that's something that we have a need to do.
Something as simple as doing the dishes can affect you perhaps one day where it's a task that just has to be done, an unpleasant task. On the other hand, it could affect you in a way where you're grateful to be able to have had something to eat and to be able to have dishes to wash, where so many people in the world, you know, are going hungry. So, you know, again, being able to have the expression of your soul be, you know, in a positive way with every single thing that you're doing, mm-hmm. something as simple as doing the dishes.
And that it's almost like, you have to live awake. Many of us kind of, me included, oftentimes I find myself walking and doing things, you know, just because I've always done it and it's habit and I don't have to think about it. But can I pay attention to what I'm doing? And with that comes responsibility of what am I putting out there energetically? How am I impacting other people? And am I, with my energy, negatively impacting others? Am I being respectful of all things, or am I taking more than what is my fair share of resource? That's what I mean when it's kind of, you have to be awake and you have to be responsible. And sometimes it's easier just to, today I'm just going to hide under the covers and I'm not going to be a responsible adult today. But, you know, that's part of it too.
And brings us to mindfulness.
Right.
And just being mindful of everything you're doing right now in this moment, because this moment is really all that matters. And whatever it is that you're doing today will create the reality that you experience tomorrow. So everything that matters is happening right now.
Right. Exactly.
That's such a good point. And I think mindfulness really breaks that cycle of rumination, because too often it's easy to think about later or yesterday or whatever. Like you said about the 85% of thoughts you've already kind of experienced, but being mindful and present is so powerful in that way. And I love what you guys bring to talking about creativity and energy. And I know all three of you are very in tune with energy and energy work. Can you guys speak to how energy work might be useful with spiritual healing as well?
Everything is energy, first of all, including spirit. And our spiritual, and we're spiritual beings, so we're energetic beings. It makes sense that energy heals energy. And so it isn't always about the pill or, you know, taking the medication and not saying anything against that at all, because, you know, that is good. But we need the energetic healing in addition to that, to support that, to support the energy of the medication, to support the energy of a surgery, for instance. That's all good, and thank God we have those things. But also to be able to understand that energy heals energy. And energetic healing brings people to a place where they can self-heal. So it helps with relaxation. It helps balance the energies of the body, so that everything within the body, energetic-wise, is moving the way it's supposed to move, so that energy isn't getting stuck and creating inflammation or pain or any kind of illness. So it's that energetic movement. It's that understanding of qi, if you will, you know, the Chinese version talking about qi and how it's always moving, and that it can be just phenomenal with regard to healing on all levels.
I think when we have physical symptoms, it is a reflection of a spiritual issue or an energetic issue at some point. And when we have had a block, an energy blockage, or maybe we're holding on to some emotion somewhere in our body, eventually it manifests itself as a physical condition. And so I believe that when we have a physical condition, it's a symptom of an energetic blockage that needs to be removed.
And so building on that, I was recently listening to Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he was talking about We are matter, and so when we try to heal with matter, using matter, like using medications, using surgery, using splints, whatever it is, it takes a longer period of time because matter is so dense. When we look at healing with energy, energy healing is instantaneous. It just takes no time at all, less than seconds, in order to impact something energetically. So it would make sense if you're trying to to heal the different levels, energetic healing at such a rapid rate will increase physical, mental healing also, because it's just that additional burst of energy or that additional alignment that happens instantaneously. We're not bogged down walking through such a thick matter to get to the end point. Does that make sense? I don't know if I explained that well.
I think you really did. And just as an example that's coming to mind, a friend of mine who happens to also be a Reiki practitioner fell and broke her knee a number of years ago. And while she was waiting for the ambulance to come, and she's literally laying on the sidewalk, she had the presence of mind to give herself Reiki. So she did some energy work on her knee while she was waiting for the ambulance to come. And they took her to the emergency room where they did an x-ray, and the physician said, "This is just so strange because it's like it's already started to heal." He said, "I've never seen it happen that quickly." So, you know, that's awesome. Exactly kind of what Donna was saying. I mean, she obviously needed to have her knee set and casted, but the energy work sort of, sort of helped the whole thing along at a much faster rate.
Right.
Yeah.
That brings up a story that Dr. Bill Manahan shared in a previous episode, but he had experienced his ears ringing. And I forget the exact story, but basically he kept saying, if I hear this one more time and I don't want to hear this anymore, those sorts of things. And he had some energy work done and started kind of exploring why his ears were ringing. And it really came up to what he was putting out there. And he was expressing that he didn't want to hear this anymore, and was manifesting that kind of in a physical way with his ears ringing. So when he worked through that, he shares in his story that the ear ringing actually went away. So it can be so powerful what our words do and can manifest in like such a physical way. The other thing I think about when you guys talk about this, I heard a while back kind of the statement that you can be healed without being cured. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's very true. When you talk about curing, it's absence of disease. When you talk about healing, you're bringing back into balance. And maybe we're not meant to be cured. Maybe our life path includes this illness or includes whatever it is that we're going through at the time. So maybe we'll learn our lesson without actually having a cure or riddance of disease. Maybe we will, but that's not kind of the end goal, if you will. It would be more of how can you bring yourself to balance to live the life that you are intended to live, to be at peace with perhaps your illness, or to contribute to the universe what it is that you were meant to contribute.
Yes, I would totally agree with that. Sometimes healing is supposed to take place on a spiritual level rather than curing a physical ailment. It depends on, as Donna said, on, you know, what your chosen path is, what you chose to experience when you came here. And the healing involves more about being at peace with where you're at the present time, even if it means that you have, you know, a heart disease or a cancer or something. But being able to just be at peace with yourself, who you are, where you're going, and how you're feeling about that would be healing to me as opposed to cure.
Beautiful. So wrapping up the interview today, one thing I wanted to ask each of you is, what is one thing you do consistently for self-care that really helps you in this kind of spiritual realm?
Well, this is Donna, and what I do, I think I've shared, is every morning I wake up with gratitude, as do Marie and Diane. That's one of my practices. And it is, for me, that's a meditative practice. So I meditate on what is it that I'm grateful for? How can I put myself out there? What messages are there for me today? So I meditate in the morning and I meditate every evening on what happened to me today and what can I do differently. And through meditation, energetically, that strengthens me. And it helps to, if I got off path today, I can get back on path again and try again tomorrow. And I find that I'm gentler with myself and others if I remember that, and if I am more forgiving, more understanding.
This is Marie. And for self-care, I do work on gratitude every morning starting the day. I also frequently journey, and that is a way that I would call it active meditation, but it's a way that I connect with the spirit world as a way to get information on healing for myself or for others.
And this is Diane. And in addition to both positive self-talk and gratitude and journeying, connecting with spirit helpers, one of the other things that I like to do are little ceremonies and rituals around gratitude, positive intentions, whether they're for personal need or global. But I love the whole idea of ritual and ceremony because it takes your positive intentions and those things that you want to create in your life. And it brings them into the physical. And I think it just gives them that much more personal power. So I create little rituals, even if it's just writing something on a piece of paper and lighting a candle, you know, that type of thing.
Beautiful. I love all of those things. So thank you all three for being here today. I really, really appreciate it. And I know everyone's going to take so much away from this interview. And I'm sure they're going to want to find out more about the Sister Seekers. So can you guys share with me where people will find you online?
Okay, so we are at sisterseekers.net is our website. And we're also on Facebook under Sister Seekers.
Wonderful. And I'll link all of that up in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for listening to Nourish and Shine. I hope that you enjoy this episode and that you'll leave me a review on iTunes so that more people can hear the podcast. I'd also love to connect with you on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I would love to hear your questions, so please send them my way. Also, you can check out my website. It's amysopola.com. I hope that today's interview provided you with some inspiration and practical advice to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, optimize your health, and to live a whole, vibrant life. Please join me again next week for another amazing interview. Have a wonderful week. The Nourish and Shine podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only, and it is not medical, mental health, or healthcare advice. The information presented here is not intended to diagnose, treat, heal, cure, or prevent any illness, medical condition, or mental or emotional condition. Please make sure you consult with a trusted healthcare professional before you make any changes.